To the brightest audience in the country, I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. After all these years and hundreds of protests, I have finally interviewed Juanita Broderick. She's been in the news today, the last week. Wow, we've broadcast an interview with her friend, Nurse Norma Rogers, who found Juanita injured and swollen after being raped by Bill Clinton. And we've interviewed U.S. Representative Bob Barr, one of the House managers who brought the articles of impeachment against Bill Clinton. Remember that? And he told us about the FBI's investigation of Juanita's very credible charge of rape against Bill Clinton. And we've protested in 144 cities with huge banners declaring Clinton raped Juanita. And finally, after all that, yesterday, I spoke with Juanita Broderick herself. Let's go right to that interview. Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick will be touring the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Arkansas. And what is fascinating about that is these women both have serious accusations against the former president, Bill Clinton, for sexual assault. And we're honored to have on the line with us right now from Little Rock, Juanita Broderick. Juanita, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob.
Our audience knows about the plight that you've gone through and then your effort to set the record straight. And, of course, the Clinton machine effort to discredit not only you, but the other women that he has sexually assaulted. And Juanita, I've explained your story to our audience in the past, but could you take a couple minutes and tell them?
All right. My story began in 1978 when I was working for the Clinton campaign. I came to Little Rock. I'm from the Van Buren, Arkansas area, and I had come to Little Rock to be at a nursing home meeting. Mm-hmm. And while I was here is when the assault took place.
Now, you owned or managed a nursing home at that time?
I owned one.
And you were going to the Camelot Inn.
Right. It was the Camelot. I'm not for sure what it is right now.
Yeah, I think
it was the Camelot.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was for a nursing conference, so you went to Little Rock.
Yes, my director of nursing and I were there together.
Okay. And that was Norma Kelsey, who was then Norma Rogers.
Exactly.
Okay. By the way, Juanita, I don't know if you know this, but we did an interview with Norma, and it was an hour-long interview, and it aired the week that the Clinton Library opened.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
You mean it's a recent interview for her?
Yes.
Oh, I had no idea.
If you ever are inclined, you, of course, could listen to that interview. We'd be happy to send it to you on a CD or just at our website at KGOV. That's KGOV.com.
Oh, that's nice. But that's good to know.
Yeah, she was incredible. She was wonderful to talk to. Sincere.
Well, she's a lovely lady. I haven't seen her in a while and in a few years, but she's just a lovely lady.
So the two of you went for this nursing conference in Little Rock.
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, I don't go into the particulars of it anymore, but I just say that I was sexually assaulted by him.
Oh.
And it was, you know, investigated to a very high degree by Dateline NBC.
Right, Lisa Myers.
Right.
And started out, I think, skeptical. And the more she talked to contemporaneous witnesses, to you, checked into the story, she became convinced of the truth of this serious accusation.
Right. She had come to Fort Smith, oh gosh, it was in 99 or 98, to meet with my son because I really didn't want to, I just didn't want to tell about it. Mm-hmm. It was just something that I couldn't face. And she came to Fort Smith, and at the very last minute, I broke in on her meeting and said, you know, yeah, I want to talk to you.
Wow. Now you.
And we talked, and then we talked over the next year. I got cold feet so many times, you would not believe it, because I knew what was going to happen. I mean, there had been rumblings ever since 78, you know, of what had happened, but I'd never actually admitted it, but to about five or six close friends.
And your son, he's a lawyer, right?
Yes.
And so he, as I've heard it, he encouraged you that, Mom, this is a serious federal investigation.
Now, he didn't encourage me for the interview. That was all my doing.
Okay.
Completely. But I had always told that this didn't happen. Mm-hmm. What my son did, being an attorney himself, when STARS people came down to interview me, he came to me and he said, Mom, this is too serious. This is federal now. And it's time to... He had known for years what had happened, I told him.
Right.
And okay. He said, you have to tell the truth. I know you don't want to, but you have to tell the truth.
And that is how we've understood and reported the story.
Right.
So that's how basically the events went on the record.
Right.
And that was with the FBI during the investigation into the Clinton impeachment.
Yes.
Okay, so then you talked to NBC. And how about Dorothy Rabinowitz at the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, Dorothy, whenever NBC started dragging their feet and when I got the infamous call from Lisa Myers, who is to this day a dear friend, I couldn't say enough nice things about Lisa because after this interview, Lisa was sort of put in the deep freeze. You know, she did things that probably NBC had preferred that she did not because of their boss, you know, being such a close friend of Clinton. And they stonewalled and stonewalled and stonewalled. And then Lisa called and she said, you know, the good news is you were very believable.
Right.
Tim Russert and people had viewed the film before they started editing and doing everything. And she said, the bad news is you're very, very believable.
You're too credible.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that just really, I was hurt. I remember the days that I would scream over the phone at Lisa, why did you put me through this if they're not going to air it? Because everything was coming out, well, you know, they're not going to air it. They did the interview, but they're not going to air it because they can't prove it. Well, they had proved it and proved it and proved it. There was just absolutely too much pressure from the White House not to air it, especially before the impeachment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it really didn't come out until Dorothy Rabinowitz came to my home, just showed up at my home one day and wanted to do an interview. And I completely refused. I said no because I was so down on the press
and
the media at that time. I said no. Well, she had had she'd flown into Little Rock and had a limo drive her to the base of my driveway. I live on 40 acres. And I wouldn't let her come up. We had the gates locked. And so finally, after she'd sat down there about an hour and a half, she said, well, can I just come up and use the restroom? And I should have known better.
Oh, boy. Boy, that was sharp on her part, huh?
Oh, she's just lovely. Oh. So after I met her and let her in the house, of course, I did give her the interview. And when that came out is when NBC went ahead with their airing.
Well, Juanita...
They taped for about 6 hours and did, 20 minutes?
Right. I read that Rabinowitz editorial column in the Wall Street Journal. And could I tell you how it struck me? A number of us here from this radio show in Denver, Bob and Yart Live, 10 of us flew out to Hollywood because O.J. Simpson's memorabilia was being auctioned that week.
Oh, my.
That same week that her column came out, it was like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent about $20,000 and we purchased O.J.'s Hall of Fame award and his Heisman jerseys he had autographed, and we burned them on the steps of the L.A. courthouse.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't that wonderful?
Well, thank you very much, Wendy. And we did that just to say how disgusted we were. Our criminal justice system is broken in America. People get away with all kinds of crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm flying back to Denver, and I opened the Wall Street Journal, and I read that column.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that struck me so hard was Dorothy is talking about this brutal sexual assault committed by Bill Clinton. And you know what? She didn't call it an alleged assault. She used words that you used, in fact, with Sean Hannity this week.
Yes.
She said that this event, in fact, took place.
Yes.
She said that this was a sexual crime that, in fact, took place. And when I read just the corroborating evidence of the contemporaneous witnesses in the story, I just became so angry that our government looks the other way at such serious crimes.
Yes.
And so this is what we did. Now, you probably don't know anything of this.
No.
But we started protest against Bill Clinton, and we followed him around this country. We eventually went to 144 cities.
Oh, my goodness.
From Martha's Vineyard through San Diego to Auckland, New Zealand. Ten of us went there. In some cities, we had as many as 50 and 100 people. And we had huge banners talking about your accusation that basically that Bill Clinton is a rapist.
Yes.
And in Denver, Colorado, the second largest St. Paddy's Day parade in the country, we started with 80 people. We were in the parade.
And my goodness.
By the time we were done, dozens of people had joined us and put on our shirts and were carrying our signs. And the national media did not cover any of these protests.
Tell me about it.
Any of them.
Yeah.
And it was truly an extraordinary time. And our goal, I had been on Matt Drudge's radio show a couple years ago, and he allowed me to announce that the week the Clinton Library opened would be our 144th city that we would go to protest Bill Clinton. And when the thousands of people arrived for that event, every one of them were met with huge banners.
Oh, my goodness.
In front of the convention center, downtown Little Rock, right on Main Street, saying that Bill Clinton was a rapist. And our presence there, there were 30 of us, we changed the tenor of that entire week's celebration.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So I just want to let you know that there are people that care about the truth. And were we biased against Bill Clinton to start with? Yes, we were, because we think his policies are destructive. And then when we see that someone's personal behavior mirrors their public policies of destruction, we didn't want to let that just be ignored.
Sure. So that's wonderful to hear that.
And so it's an honor now after these years. I feel like I sort of know you,
Juanita. Is that right?
And especially talking to Norma, who is so warm and wonderful. So is there any chance that you going to the Clinton Library in Little Rock with Kathleen, Willie, what's your goal? What do you hope to accomplish?
Well, the main thing we want to do is to just go through the library. I told one of the organizers that was helping with this, I told him, I said, you know, I just hope that I can make it through there without physically throwing up. Mm. You know, I mean, I don't even like to look at the man on TV or on anything. I have such a repulsion when I even see him. But anyway, we are going. We're going to go through there very quietly, and then we're going to come out and tell about his legacy that isn't in there.
Well, that's just great. Hey, could I give you an idea? The state of Arkansas, their historian is located in the public library, the main branch of the public library, just a few blocks from the Clinton Library.
Uh-huh.
And they were interested in our protest of the president being a rapist.
Uh-huh.
They wanted that as part of the official record for the state of the opening of the Clinton Library. And perhaps, who's the author of the book, Ms. Jackson?
Candace Jackson.
Uh-huh. Perhaps she or maybe her PR agent could make it a point to go to the library and to the historical society there, and they'll certainly want your press release.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yes, and I will tell Candace about that. She should be into the hotel any minute. I'm in Little Rock right now waiting for the others, waiting for Kathleen.
Well, Juanita, if ever you need help in any way to get your message out, you have hundreds of friends around the country that I don't think you know about, but we're here to help you if you need it.
Bob, thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, Juanita Broderick. What an honor to have her on the show. And we did this interview yesterday, so the day before she and Kathleen Willie went with Candace Jackson to the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Arkansas, to set the record straight, to let people know the true legacy of Bill Clinton. All right, now we are back in the studio live. It's October 26, 2005. Our phone number here is 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We will get a firsthand report of today's tour of the Clinton Library when I interview Kathleen Willie this Friday. That will be interesting. Of course, Kathleen Willie's story is that Bill Clinton assaulted her when she worked in the White House in 1993, and that then Hillary was part of Bill Clinton's inner circle, putting pressure and intimidation to keep her silent. So that will be interesting. Now, Human Events Magazine, at their website, there is an article they published today, and the authors, the three women authors, are Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, and Candace Jackson. And I'd like to read this article to you, and there's only one thing in here that I disagree with, and I'll point that out as soon as we get to that part toward the end of the article. But let's listen now to the words of Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, and Candace Jackson from Human Events, the article titled Broderick and Willey at Clinton Library, Bill and Hillary Promote Violence Against Women. The authors are touring the Clinton Presidential Library today to send a message that women do not need to keep silent about sexual assault. Like far too many women in this country, all three of us have experienced the crime of sexual assault and the violation of sexual harassment by men in powerful positions. Each of us has battled with the shame, humiliation, and fear of coming forward to report the assault. Each of us has worried about how this sexual harassment and assault will affect our careers. Two of us, however, suffered this kind of experience at the hands of a United States president. That president has never apologized for his vicious behavior toward us. That president and his wife orchestrated frightening, retaliatory intimidation tactics against us for daring to tell the truth about the assaults against us. That president and his wife are held in high esteem by world leaders and much of the American public. Because of this, Bill and Hillary Clinton continue to teach sad lessons to victims and perpetrators of violence against women in this country. The Clintons are teaching rape and sexual harassment victims that if your assailant is popular and politically powerful, you will be punished more for daring to report the assault than for keeping silent. They are teaching perpetrators of violence against women that as long as you are pro-abortion enough to have the political support of the National Organization for Women, any crimes you commit against women in your personal life, they put that in quotes, personal life, because obviously criminal behavior doesn't fall into the personal life category. As long as you are pro-abortion enough to have the political support of the National Organization for Women, any crimes you commit against women in your personal life will be overlooked. And I'm thrilled they put that in this article of theirs. That is encouraging. And it's somewhat gratifying to know that over these years, since 1999, that we have been fighting to publicize the accusation that Juanita Broderick makes that Bill Clinton is a rapist, and the powerful corroborating evidence to that accusation that we've covered on the show in the past and repeatedly. So we're not looking into that right now. But it's encouraging now to hear that Juanita Broderick would co-author an article where they point out that its commitment to abortion, which causes leaders in the media and feminists to look the other way when it comes to crimes against women. After all, abortion is a crime against women. Encouraging someone to kill their own child is inherently a conspiracy to murder. To encourage a mother to become guilty of infanticide or of killing her own unborn child, that's a crime. And so I'm just thrilled that they were able to identify and to point out that if you are pro-abortion enough to get the support of the National Organization for Women, then feminists in the media – will be willing to overlook your crimes against women. Wow. Let's continue with their Human Events article out today. When we announced that we were planning to tour the Clinton Presidential Library in Little Rock, Arkansas, last Wednesday, we were asked by friends, family, the press, and the public, why do you keep dragging this issue up? Why can't you just let it go? The Clinton Library is a multi-million-dollar monument to the legacy of our 42nd president. Part of that legacy is being erased. Part of the real Clinton legacy is the cruel abuse that he and his inner circle committed against us. If we let it go, what does that say to the thousands of women victimized by sexual harassment and assault? Unless we have the courage to ask the American people to hold the Clintons accountable for their abuses against us, we are part of the problem rather than part of the solution. The problem of abuse against women is far too serious for us to sit quietly by while Bill and Hillary Clinton whitewash their reputations and escape all consequences for their actions. Harassment and assault must be denounced no matter the status of victim or perpetrator. And of course that's true. You know one place where it's not denounced, it's expected, it's tolerated, it's just part of the background noise of the culture? That's in our public schools. In America's public schools, if you send your daughter to a public school, by the time she graduates high school, how many times will she have been the target, the victim of sexual harassment, of sexual jokes, of being asked publicly for sexual favors from her peers? I brought up that question this week, Monday evening, with a couple that I just met, and we were talking about our culture. And I asked them, they'd gone to public school, they're young, and I asked them, how many times would a young girl who goes through a public education get sexually harassed? How many incidents? And they looked at each other and they said, hundreds. It'd be hundreds. And if one such joke were to be recorded in the offices of a Fortune 100 company in America, there could be a lawsuit settled for maybe $100,000. But our public schools have such a culture of a degrading attitude toward women sexually that it's epidemic. It's absolutely epidemic. And so people get worried if their kid gets expelled unjustly from a public school because they carried a little G.I. Joe plastic knife to school for show and tell. Well, actually, every kid should be expelled from public schools, and we'd all be way better off. Okay, now, let's continue with this article. It's just so well written and raises so many good points. In Human Events Today, at their website, written by Juanita Broderick, Kathleen Willey, and Candace Jackson, harassment and assault must be denounced no matter the status of victim or perpetrator. But harassment and assault committed by our leaders must be censored even more vigorously. In other words, must be punished even more vigorously because they set the standard for acceptable behavior in our society. Right? So the media covers up what Bill Clinton does because they support his political agenda. So executive privilege to a liberal is that you could sexually harass or assault women, and the feminist will look the other way and figure, well, that's part of your payment. That's part of your compensation package for supporting the right to kill unborn children. So as long as you support the right to kill children, pretty much anything goes. Okay, let's see here. So to continue with the Human Events article, Bill Clinton's sexual assaults against us and Hillary Clinton's active participation in persuading America that those assaults don't matter represent a breach of the trust that we place in our leaders. This is not a political vendetta on our part. The two of us assaulted by Bill Clinton were political supporters of the Clintons until Bill Clinton attacked us. This is about the truth. And the sad truth is that the Clintons have exhibited such callous treatment of women that they do not deserve our respect or our votes. Whether or not you agree with the Clintons' political positions, there are certainly other politicians who hold similar positions but who actually treat women with dignity and respect. It's time for us to take abuse against women seriously, and that requires that we demand proper treatment of women from those in positions of power. Now, that last paragraph had the one point that I disagree with. They said, even if you agree with the Clintons' political positions, and that means what? That means that you need to be opposed to Judeo-Christian morality and legislation, right? For thousands of years, the sexual immorality that had been considered a crime has now been decriminalized and legitimized, and the killing of unborn children and so on. And they say, look, you might agree with the Clintons' political positions, but there are other politicians you could support who actually treat women with dignity and respect. And that I disagree with. You cannot be pro-abortion. You cannot tolerate our sexually immoral culture and promote the dignity of women. You can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. So that's the one point in the whole Human Events article by Broderick and Willie and Jackson that I disagree with, but let's continue to close it out. It's time for us to take abuse against women seriously, and that requires that we demand proper treatment of women from those in positions of power. Our stories are on record in painful detail. The Clintons have never even bothered to present any reasons why you should believe their denials and evasions regarding our accusations. They prefer to hope that we will let it go and that all of us will move on and forget about their despicable behavior. We will not let it go. For the sake of women everywhere whose lives are torn apart after being assaulted by powerful men, we will continue to press the Clintons to face up to the damage they have caused. And I will add that they will face it. If not in this life, they will face it on Judgment Day. And on Judgment Day, God delegates the authority to judge to the saints. You've read that, right, in the New Testament, that the Apostle Paul is angry at the Corinthians, and he says, look, you guys got to start judging. Don't you know if you don't judge, you create a mess? He says, do you not know that we will judge the angels? Do you not know that we will judge the world? He who has the mind of Christ judges all things. And we Christians, the world desperately needs our judgment. So get to work and start judging. I'm looking forward to the interview on Friday with Kathleen Willey, and we may air that on Friday, depending on the time of it, for the next week. Hey, Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a neat school. Maranatha, check it out.